Access number 27811, Major Richard Wilson, Reel 20. Now, we were talking about, we've come to an end, really, of your time at Bassingbourne, unless there's anything else you have to raise. And in 73-5, you have your last posting. Now, what was that?
Then I was posted to 6th Royal Anglian in Bury St Edmunds, which was a Territorial Army battalion, and my job was training major, which a TA battalion is... it was a home, what they called a home defence battalion, and it had a civilian commanding officer, retired adjutant, retired quartermaster, all the company commanders, and the rest of the town were all civilians. The regular element was myself, as training major, had a regular RSM, and each company had what they called a PSI, which was a sergeant who was sort of there all the time and was a sort of father to the company, really. I was personally based at in Bury St Edmunds. I was at that stage. I'd moved into my Norfolk home, which is where I am now.
Let's first talk about your role as a training major. So what did it involve? I mean, was it?
Training major. I was responsible for the training of the battalion. The battalion was made up of a battalion headquarters in Bury St Edmunds. A company was in Durham and Norwich in Norfolk. A B company was Bedford. C company was Chelmsford. Or it could have been Braintree. Anyhow, Essex. And D company was Cambridge. So it was quite a large area to, as it were, administer. Now, each company would have one evening a week when they would train under their own auspices, although a training, as it were, a training directive would have been sent out by me as to what I wanted them to achieve. And then at weekends we would hold battalion, company, platoon exercises, and we mainly use the Stanford Battle Area, which is just outside Thetford, which is a very large and in fact the best infantry training exercise area. It's some 18,000 acres of Norfolk. It was a part-time army, and not easy to train, because you've only got them one evening a week, and you can't obviously train everybody every weekend, because they're not going to take time off to come every weekend. And then once a year you went to camp, where we spent 2 weeks as a battalion. And the first year we went to Oakhampton when I was doing it. The second year I think we went to Sennybridge, where we did actually sort of operate, as a normal battalion.
How did you find it?
Well, I'd already done it with 4 Suffolk earlier on.
That was a long time ago. That's in the 50s,
yeah. We would have needed certainly a period. If we were going to If we'd been sent off to a sort of European type thing, we would have needed a period as a battalion to really come together. In our home defence role, which is, I was sort of more, you know, if somebody had dropped a bomb on Barry Snedman's or whatever it is, would have been sort of helping out after that sort of catastrophe. We could have probably done that at close, at short notice.
Did you train for the home defence or civil defence?
Well, we sort of trained to a certain extent for civil defence. I think it was called a home defence battalion. But I would not, personally, I would not have liked to have had a sort of war declared and then a week later found myself in Germany, because I just don't think we would have been able to cope. And I've got to be very careful what I say here, but some of the command level wasn't quite as good as one would have liked, I don't think. But having said that, they probably all thought I was a pretty useless training major, so I'd better leave it at that.
So you mean some of the colonels and majors?
Well, yeah, I had good CO. The COs were all right. Actually, I had two COs when I was there, and they were okay. But I always the company command level left a little bit to be desired. But then, having said that, you know, until you put people really under pressure, often out comes a lot of genius that you didn't actually knew existed.
Now, how are you feeling about this person? I mean, there is the phrase "passed over major," which is a cruel.
Well, I was virtually a passed over major. I was. In fact, it was while I was there that I then got on to MS, Military Secretary's Branch, and said, "What were my chances of command?" And they said I had a 50-50 chance of command. And as far as I was concerned, that was not good enough.
Command? You mean a colonelcy?
Yes. Yeah, well, promotion. Well, say promotion. 50-50 chance of promotion. By that stage, I mean, I was living in Norfolk. I'd moved into my wife's family setup. There was a bloodstock breeding business already in being there, which interested me. And so I wasn't that worried. I mean, if they'd said to me, "Yes, you've got an 80% chance of promotion," I would have probably gone on. But with a 50-50 chance, I worry I wasn't prepared to sort of, and without doubt, my postings would have got more and more boring and worse and rest of it.
You'd found that last posting fairly dull then?
I quite enjoyed it. I mean, I had a lot to do with people, and it was actually very useful to me as well, knowing that I probably going to come out. I mean, it was thanks to a TA officer who was commanding the yeomanry in Bury that I got my first job.
Okay. So when did you actually make the decision? In 75?
In 75, I decided I wouldn't go on anymore.
How did you do it? You just tell them? You're allowed to go at any time?
No, I just said I wasn't, you know, I'd done 26 years or whatever it was, and I just said I was, you know, enough's enough.
And they presumed they didn't know attempt to...
No, they were delighted to get rid of me, I think.
Any training or preparation for civilian life, or
well, I could have gone on a resettlement course. I didn't. But there were, you know, you could go and be sent down to build walls and plumbing and and all that sort of thing. But I was very lucky. The CO of the Yeomanry Regiment, was a chap called Baisley Hales, offered me. He ran. He was a senior partner of a firm of solicitors in Bury St Edmunds, and he offered me a job. So I actually left the army on one day and started my new job on the next.
And what was that?
I was to be a probate manager of a firm of solicitors, which was sort of running or setting up a probate department, which this firm hadn't got, a probate trust and tax department, which probably sounds pretty silly for a chap who'd been a soldier all his life. But in actual fact, there was very little law in it. It was nearly all administration. And one of the things that I'd done quite a lot of in my career was administration.
So you did that for how long?
I did that for till 1980, about 82.
Now, did you have any trouble settling down to the civilian lifestyle? I mean, or did you find your military experience of value? I mean, how did your army affect you when you came out?
Well, I didn't really, because I'd virtually been a civilian for some time. I mean, I had a very basic, a routine life at Bassingbourne. I mean, I was home every, other than going up to Walkup, I was home all the time. My TA job, I was living where I was going to retire anyhow, so I'd already been there. So I was, when I was training major, I mean, I was almost a civilian there. So it wasn't, for me, it wasn't a big change. I can understand if my last job had been, say, Aden, and you suddenly come back and you were out. Yes, I think it would take a bit of, getting used to. But my transition, my office when last 2 years army-wise was in Bury St Edmunds. My office when I started my civilian life was Bury St Edmunds, and I travelled in every day. There wasn't a great change.
Was your army experience of any great value to you in your civilian career?
I think yes, definitely.
In what way? Because we're quite interested in this.
Well, certainly. I mean, probate is looking after people's estates after they've died, and administrating them and making sure that everything, that the will is carried out correctly, and those who should get what was intended, get it. So it's all very much, wasn't a lot of difference between that and being adjutant of battalion. So from that point of view, yes, I think certainly, I did whatever it was, my two or three tours as adjutant. So you can say to a certain extent that a lot of my career had been as an administrator. Yes, that was, I'm sure, a great help to me. I joined this firm, and the first thing they did, they sent me down to a firm of solicitors in Godalming, which had a huge probate department, and I sat there for about 6 weeks and with their probate partner, and I learned a great deal there. And then I came back and set up a probate department for this firm. Funnily enough, actually, it was called Partridge and Wilson, but it was a Wilson bit of it. Was nothing to do with me.
Now, did you take any? Was that your final job, or this blood stop? Because that's what you do
well,
now. Isn't
that's
it?
What I do now.
Is that a hobby or a hobby stroke? Or a real, I know
you. Well, don't. I wouldn't want the tax people to think it was a hobby. No. In between that, I left. But my father died in 1980, leaving a farm and a small estate down in the West Country. So I took over the running of that, which I did from Norfolk. But I used to go down to the farm once a month for a week, and then when I was lambing and carving and that sort of thing. I'd get down 5 or 6 weeks. So I spent about a third of the year away from home. And I did that until my mother died in 1992. So I was sort of running the family farm and also had a small bloodstock breeding business, which really my wife ran. She's the expertise back in Norfolk. And then after my mother died, I sold the West Country farm because it wasn't viable, and clearly my own family would never have the sort of wherewithal to go and I don't mean they couldn't run it, but there wouldn't have been enough cash for them to have gone and lived down there. So I sold it, and now I. As a result of selling that, we have built up the bloodstock breeding business with some rather better stock, and we use better stallions, etc. And that brings us up to the present day.
Thank you very much.